Good morning again, everybody. Just so thankful to be here. Just wanted to highlight a few things, some cool stuff that's going on here at our location. We had our first little prayer meeting before the gathering, just wanting to be committed to that vision of the church. I mentioned it a few weeks ago in the gather message of just wanting to be devoted to prayer as the Bible has called us to be, as we as the church are meant to call upon God for his movement and for him to do amazing things. And so we had all our volunteers and some extra people show up, you know, around 20 or so people. So just amazing. Just want to continue to shout that out and let you know you can be a part of that as well. If you'd like to get up a little early and sacrifice a little bit of sleep, each week we're going to pray for the Lord to move and do amazing things. So that was really, really awesome. And then just heard a cool story this week. I was meeting with Kathy and we were talking about some different things. And there's a lady who uses the baby pantry. And Toys for Tots, we have the ability at our Holly location, Lake Orion location, to do Toys for Tots, which basically for families who are in need, we're able to supply toys so that they can put gifts under the tree for their children. And this lady, she takes the application from our baby pantry, she fills it out, and Kathy was saying she was expecting like one or two toys. Right, and she was okay with that, just wanted to bless her children. And she gets there, and she gets this two garbage bags full of toys. And she's like, no, that's not what I was wanting. You can just give me a few toys. And we're like, no, this is what we do. We've been blessed, and we're able to do this. And it just blessed that lady. She was so thankful, in tears sharing the story. You know, just amazing, amazing stuff is going on here at Walled Lake and in the River Church as a whole. And so I just want to encourage you, come be a part of this. We have plenty of areas to serve, plenty of ways to use your gifts. I'm just very thankful for that. And then want to reiterate again that town hall next Sunday, February 1st, is going to be a very, very awesome time. I want to encourage you to be there, to put it in your calendar. And I did miss a little portion of that. There is an opportunity for a Q&A time. So if you have questions to our elders of why we do things here, how we do things here, whatever it is, you can email your questions to questions@theriverchurch.cc. Very easy email. Write down whatever questions you want. Give them all the hard ones. You know, let's really stump them, whatever it is. So I think it'd be awesome. Just make sure you say, I'm from the Walled Lake location, and they'll address it at our town hall meeting. So, yeah, it's very excited for that. But I hope last week was the opportunity for location pastor swap. I hope you enjoyed Pastor John Carter coming out last week. Was very thankful. He said he loved it here. I'm not going to lie. I felt like a teacher has a substitute teacher, and they're like, I hope my kids just do good. You're not all my kids. Believe me, I know I'm young. But I was like, I'm so excited for John. I love John. I can't wait for him to meet you guys and to see you. And he said he had such a wonderful time. Everyone was so welcoming. And it just made my heart happy that that's what our church is like, right? That's what our location, our body's like, of just welcoming and loving. I got to say, I did not love the Holly building preaching at. Because the building's very big. And I haven't preached there before, and I could hear my voice in the speakers in the back, and so I'm hearing my echo as I'm talking, and I'm like, okay, slow down, just listen to your voice, you know, just focus on that. And to be honest, I missed you guys. I like preaching here. I like preaching to you guys, so thank you. You don't got to patronize me. I get it. It's okay. You're just being nice to me, but this week, we are talking about, I would say, probably one of the most sensitive topics to preach on. One of the most sensitive topics to preach on in the church today. And that topic is giving. Money, offering. It's just one of those topics that always has some baggage to it and can kind of make people a little tense. So what I wanted to do before we started, say we're talking about giving. All right, so everyone, deep breath. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to go to the scriptures and we're going to see what the Bible says about what our giving should be like. What is it meant to do? What is the heart behind it? But I say it's one of the most sensitive topics because, unfortunately, in the church, it has been something that pastors, leaders, churches have taken advantage of. Whether it's using it to abuse people, to manipulate them, maybe there's been unfaithfulness. And I say that knowing the history that's happened here, you know, and there's just heaviness to it. And if it hasn't happened to you, odds are you know someone who's been hurt before by the giving in the church and by people taking advantage of that and abusing that. And so we know that this is a tough topic. And there are warnings when it comes to money. There are very clear warnings that the scripture gives us as we talk about money, whether it is in giving or in our own personal life. Verses like 1 Timothy 6:10 say, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Mark 4:19 says, "But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." Right, so I love that 1 Timothy verse because it says the love of money, right? So it's not necessarily the actual thing, but it's how we view it. Money can be a root of all sorts of evils, and the church is definitely not excluded to that, right? And so we know that this is a sensitive topic, and although it's sensitive, it's still necessary. And my goal is to shepherd us through that. Maybe for you, as we go through this sermon, it's a way of healing from past hurt that has happened with this. Maybe for you, it's a corrected belief of maybe I need to start giving, right? Maybe I need to be a part of this and worship the Lord in the area of giving. Whatever it is, my desire is to shepherd you through this. And I don't ever want to be a pastor that goes, you know what? It's a sensitive topic. People have been hurt by this topic before. We're not going to talk about it. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to preach the Bible in its entirety. And so these tough topics, we're gonna go at it head on, all right? And so hopefully I'm able to lead you through that and see what the scriptures has for us this morning. And just want to say, Pastor Jason, he's our locations pastor. So he's the Waterford location pastor, but he oversees all of the location pastors. And he helped put together this outline of just where he wanted us to go with this message. And so if you do listen to some of our other pastors, just know I didn't steal this from them. This is something we're kind of all following, a similar outline. So it may sound a little familiar, but I promise it's a little unique. So let's pray, and then we will dive into the word this morning. Lord, we love you. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. And I ask as we enter into this sensitive topic, a topic that maybe brings some trauma with it or some hurt, I just pray that you make our hearts open and receptive to what your word is saying and what your Holy Spirit wants us to see in this. Please guide my words and give me clarity, Lord. And where I am weak, Lord, provide strength. God, we love you so much. We pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 4, but make a spot in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you have your Bible with you, I would encourage you to open it up. If you don't have one, we have them at guest services. They're in the back of the chairs. You can take that home if you don't have a Bible. I want you in your word, reading it. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 4 and have a spot open to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's where we're going to go right after it. But Acts chapter 4, verse 32 says this. "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common." So as we are going through the vision series of our church, right, we are going through reach, gather, grow, and we're in the book of Acts. This give part isn't necessarily part of that reach or that vision statement, but it's still a very essential thing to push forward the vision, right? We need to give towards that vision. And so we're looking at Acts. How did the early church give? How did the early church view their possessions and their money and their material things? As you see the early church, they gave sacrificially. They gave worshipfully. They saw the needs of others. Now, in Acts, it is important to note, there is a way of interpreting Acts. And so there are parts of Acts that is descriptive, and there's parts of Acts that is prescriptive. Meaning the descriptive things is, as Luke, the author of this book, was writing it, he simply was stating what the early church did. Right, it's a history of the church. It's how the early church was formed. And so some things aren't necessarily meant to be applied one-to-one. Right? They're not saying, do this exact thing. There's truths within it that we learn and we apply to our life. There's other things that are prescriptive, meaning this is how the church and you as a follower of Christ need to live. Things such as salvation, right? There's no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved. That's Acts chapter 4, right? There are very prescriptive things. Acts 2:45 is another verse that we can use to help talk about giving and apply this principle. It says, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Now with this verse, what I'm not telling you to do, sell all of your stuff and come live in the church together in this building. I don't think any of us want that, right? We all need a space every now and then. I know I need it, right? You wouldn't want to be around me all the time, right? We got our homes. Let's have a nice little retreat. Let's be in fellowship. But that's a descriptive thing. But the prescriptive thing, rather, is looking at the attitude and the heart and the act of giving that the early church displayed. It's not necessarily saying sell all of your needs and live in a compound together, but rather it's saying see the needs of others. Be sensitive to the idea that others have a need and we might be able to fulfill those needs. Another part of the scriptures that talks about giving with this idea specifically is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So we'll be in this chapter for the rest of the sermon. But to go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1 through 5, say this. "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift and not as an exaction." So as we look at this first section of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're sitting on this point of being sensitive to the needs of others, seeing the needs of other people, being able to be aware of that, you'll notice that there are some key words that were repeated in this section. Words such as ready, zeal, readiness, right? You are ready to give, meaning they see the need, they see that there is a way that they can provide it, and they are ready willingly to provide that gift. Paul is even said to be boasting about the Corinthian church in this area. Now, if you've studied Corinthians before, you would know this church is not always the best. And in fact, Paul writes to the Corinthians, and there are so many things that he needs to correct that what they're doing. Right? The River Church went through a sermon series before on 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And the first series was titled, "What a Mess," and goes through 1 Corinthians. And then 2 Corinthians is still a mess and went through all the things that Paul had to correct them on. In fact, some scholars even believe there was actually 4 letters written to the Corinthian church from Paul. So there's plenty of things that this church needed to work on. But in this area, Paul is boasting about them. And he's saying, you know, you are displaying a readiness to give. And in that readiness, you are showing that you see the needs of these other churches. You see they are hurting. You see they have people who need to be cared for. And he's calling the rest of us to have that readiness. And I think the really cool thing about looking at this idea, it shows that this church saw and understood a need had to be met. A lot of times we can get so tunnel visioned on ourselves, maybe our families, or maybe even our own location sometimes, where we cannot see the needs of the world around us, of the people around us, of the other locations, right, in our specific context. Sometimes what we need to do when we look at giving and offering and our money is we need to widen our perspective. When we think about where we live in America, we are in a very wealthy part of the world. And it may not always feel like it sometimes, but we have been unbelievably blessed financially
as compared to other parts of the world. What we need to do is what this Corinthian church did. We need to widen our perspective, not be tunnel vision on the situation we're in, but see there are needs of people in the world. There are needs of people in our church. And when I say in our church, I'm not just meaning here in Walled Lake. I mean at our other locations, there are people who are hurting. There are people who need our support. So we have to have the eyes to see that. And I love that point of being sensitive to the needs of others. But also, when we're viewing our giving, as we see here in the Corinthian church, they didn't view their giving as a tax to God. It wasn't a tax where it's like, all right, well, my money has come in, and I got to just give God my money, this part of it, and call it good. It wasn't an exaction that they had. It was a willing gift. And that just made me think about taxes, because it's that time of the year, everybody. And I want you to know, I'm not usually a prideful, boastful person, but your pastor has already filed his taxes. He is on top of it. I'm growing up. Already got it done, but I hate every second of it. I mean, I go through the whole free tax website, whatever it is, and I feel like I'm constantly doing something wrong. And I just like want to add the note. I'm like, IRS, if there's something wrong, just fix it, all right? I promise I'm not trying to fraud or anything like that. But they didn't view it as taxes, as verse 5 says, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. When we are talking about giving and with the church, we need to understand this isn't our tax to God the way it is with the government. This is not us saying, well, let's just look at our check and let's just add a number to it and just give it to God because we need to give it to him as a tax. It needs to be a willing gift. Not only that, as we look at taxes, there's illustration that we were talking about in the location pastor's meeting. I thought it was very interesting. One of our location pastors saw this from another pastor, and he said, imagine, if we view giving as a tax, imagine the government said for this next year, for 2026, we're just going to tell everybody to pray about what they want to give, and you can give whatever you want to taxes. How many things in our country would actually get done? Probably nothing, because I know for myself, I'm like, you're giving me the option not paying any taxes. I'm keeping my money, right? None of the needs we met. We didn't see roads fixed. We didn't see any of these different things. But yet when it comes to the church and we hear this, pray what you want to give, prayerfully consider what you want to give, we don't view it as giving it to the work of God. We view it as a tax. And we go, okay, if you're going to give me the out, I'm going to take the out. I don't have to give. We can't view it in this way. We need to be different. We need to see the needs of others around us. We need to see and prayerfully consider, how can I contribute to that work? How can I contribute to that need? Thankfully, at the River, we have the opportunity to give to a widespread ministry. We have 9 locations in Oakland and Genesee County in all different cities and economic backgrounds, right? We have people, we have churches in low-income places, high-income places. We have a widespread ministry that we get to be a part of. And when you give, right, it's not just giving to some black hole. It's giving to the ministry, the needs of the saints, the needs of the world around us. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have. The second point, sensitive to give generously. So continuing on in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says this. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Now, as we read this passage, I have to say, this passage is one of the most misinterpreted and misused scriptures in the Bible. What some so-called churches and pastors have done with this passage is horrible, and it's something that I hate. Right? They use it to coerce people into giving money in the hopes that God will supply back to them more money. They'll use it as things saying, like, it's time for you to sow a seed. Right? We're going to sow a seed of faith and give $1,000 today, and God's going to add $10,000 back into your bank account. There's so many mega churches we see in America where these guys are flying private jets, and they're earning all of this money because, you know what? You're sowing a seed of faith. Give me money and God will give it back to you. I abominate that. I hate that. It's where the prosperity gospel has come out of. And what the pastors are doing is they are abusing and manipulating people. And people usually in lower income who are saying, you know what? You want a better house? You want a better job? You want better cars? Well, sow this seed of faith. And it's comical. Right, I actually just had a YouTube video that was showing these pastors doing these things. And I laugh about it. I think it's funny, but then it breaks my heart. Because people are falling into the trap. A church like Bethel, very big. You've probably heard their music before. When they give their offering, they say, you know, we are believing in God for money and more money. Jobs and more jobs. Promotions and more promotions. We are saying as we give this offering, God's going to give it back to us financially. And it's horrible. It's where this prosperity gospel has come out of. And it's masked with this fake religiousness where they're saying, you know, we're just believing God for great things. We're believing God can give us more money. That's what we are just believing in God for very big things like this. He says you'll reap what you sow. And I want to give this warning. The reason I'm harping on this is because there could be pastors you're listening to. Could be on social media. Could be on the TV, on the radio, podcasts. Vet what they're saying. See if they're following this fake, false prosperity gospel. There's this video I listen to regularly, and I love it. It's like a two-minute sermon clip. And, of course, it's John Piper. I love me some Piper. He's sharing about how much he hates this prosperity gospel, and he gives this thing where he says people, he asks the question, how many, as we look at the world, how many Americans, Africans, Asians ever say Jesus is all-satisfying because you drive a BMW? Never, right? How many of those people, these missionaries that are driving these private jets, they're saying, you know, Jesus is so amazing because look how much money you have. No, what they're doing is, wait, Jesus gave you that? Well, then, yeah, I'll take Jesus because he'll give me more money. It's idolatrous. It's raising money to the place of God. So what is this text truly saying then? Because there is a truth here of you will reap what you sow. That is very true. What you are sowing in your life, what you're sowing with your giving, you will reap that, right? I believe it's a call to be generous with the money that's been blessed to us. And truthfully, I believe it is a call to desire more. I believe it's a call to desire more. And I love, C.S. Lewis gives an illustration. He says, as humans, we don't desire enough. We are like little kids who would rather be in the slums eating a mud pie because we don't know what it's like to be at vacation at the sea eating a medium rare steak. We'd rather these trivial little things like money, like finances, like cars and houses, when we can have God himself. We view these other things as so much more important, giving us more security, more fulfillment, rather than God himself. And it makes me think of Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Make God your everything, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When your heart is changed by the infinitely outpouring grace of God, that's where true generosity comes from. What does that mean? When you have experienced the gospel, it changes everything for you. And that's why I have said so many times, and I'm going to continue to say it so many times, and we believe it here at the River Church, the gospel is central to everything. The gospel is not just that thing that brings us salvation, and then we have other beliefs. No, the gospel is where we flow all of our other beliefs. So when it comes to giving, it's rooted in the gospel, being that God gave his son for us when we didn't deserve it. God sent Jesus to the world so that we could be saved, so that we could have new life. And from that truth, from being born again, everything else flows. And what it means, it's not this fake desire saying, I desire God. Now make me a millionaire. Man, I really desire God. Lord, where's my brand new Escalade? That's not what that verse is saying. But rather, when you truly desire God, when you've experienced the gospel, you say, I was dead and depraved before the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. I was deserving of an eternity in hell, and there was nothing I could do about it. Now I see this beautiful God who sent his son for me. Now I see this God who loved me so much that he sent his one and only son to die on a cross so that I could be saved. And I don't deserve this grace. I could never earn this grace. I can never get to a spot of deserving this grace. Now all I want to do is please him. So that means my time, my life, and my money, I will give generously. That's what it means. And when the Lord, the gospel, enters into your life, the desires of your heart change. Where you no longer want these trivial things. You want more. You want God himself. And the Lord says, when you give in that way, when you give generously, you will reap what you sow. When you sow generously to praise the Lord, you will receive the greater things. Peace, joy, knowledge of God, more of him. When you relinquish that control that money can have over our life, and we all have been in that spot, right? Let's not try to act holier than thou. We know money can have control of our life. When you're seeing those bills come in, when you see that money hit your bank account, it's really easy to make that the central focus of your life. But when you see your money and the blessing that it is, and you give it generously, you sow those seeds of generosity, you will reap the greater things. It may not be financial. I have no idea. But I promise you, it'll be something so much better. A deeper dependence upon God. It will be more peace. It will be a joy that is never fading, that doesn't rust, that moth doesn't destroy. It'll be something that only the Lord can give, and it'll be him himself. How much better than all the money in the world? Now to note, this generosity, when we say give generously, doesn't have a price tag. Okay? So verse 7, it says, each one must give. So to make it clear again, it is a command. It's a biblical command for us to give to the Lord. Each one must give. It says, as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, when it comes to giving, you may be able to fool people. Right? You may be able to say, looking at your bank account, I can only give this much. You know, I'm giving out of full faith. And great. But you can't fool God. God knows how much money's coming in for you. God knows how much you could give generously. And so you may be able to put that mask on and fool people, but you're not able to fool God. For some of you, it may just be two pennies. Like the parable of the widow, where Jesus says she gave her last two copper coins and it was greater than all the other offerings that the fake Pharisees gave that day. And that's amazing. Man, if you just got two pennies, but you're giving in full faith, going, you know what? The Lord's going to do more with this than he could with, than we as humans could do with trillions of dollars without God. That's great. For some of you, you may have been blessed financially. And so it probably means more. I have no idea what that number is. It says each one must give as you have decided in your heart. I can't tell you today that 10% is the number that you should give. I don't have a command in the New Testament of how much we should give to the church. But I can tell you this, as each one has decided in his heart. I can tell you God is telling you to prayerfully consider how much to give to him. And I'm telling you, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, for some of you, it may be more of your paycheck. So that you can say, you know what, money has control over me. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave it and I'm going to surrender it to God. And I'm going to fully trust that no matter what happens this week, God's going to be able to take care of me. Because he does, right? He knows the amount of hair on our head. He knows the grass of the field. He can take care of whatever needs to be. Maybe for you, you need to surrender more of that control of your finances to the Lord. I can't give you that number. I can tell you, prayerfully consider what it is and be a cheerful giver. Because let's be honest, how can Christians who've been saved by undeserved grace give any other way? Man, we've been given everything from the Lord. How can we give any other way when it comes to our finances? This quote I read was so great. And I actually thought about reading like 7 quotes just in this part from a commentary I read. But I didn't want to bore you too much with that. But this quote I think is great. It says, "Give not as an external behavior only, crowbarred into action, reluctant and forced. Give rather out of an internal delight in God, aware of God's grace to us personally in the gospel, and thus freely and cheerfully." That's what it means to give generously. And then this last part, give worshipfully. So finishing up 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Now, this last point I think is so important as we talk about giving. So we have that we need to be sensitive to the needs of others. We need to see and have eyes that there are people in this world that have a need that we might be able to meet. We need to give generously, right? Where we are a cheerful giver. And we don't reluctantly hold it back. We give it to God knowing he's blessed it anyways. And this last point, we need to give worshipfully. When you give each week, don't just view it as paying a bill or paying a tax. View it as worshiping God because it is worship. Look at that verse 12 again. He says, "This ministry is not only supplying the needs of the saints." So yes, it's great. Needs get met when the church gives generously. Right? It's so amazing that all of our money that goes into the offering each week gets used for the purposes of ministry, whether that may be lights, to have lights here in the building, or heat so that we can, you know, sit comfortably, or maybe it's a reach ministry where we get to preach the gospel, right? Needs get met by our giving. But it says, "but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." When we think of giving, it should be this. It is worship to our Almighty God. And when we give it in worship, we are hoping that our offering and what that offering is used for, it overflows in thanksgivings to God, right? For the people, for the needs that get met. Like that lady for Toys for Tots, she was able to be so thankful to God because other people were generous. Because other people viewed it as worship and as a ministry, and then that lady gets blessed, and that lady brings praise and thanksgiving to God. Because it started with someone's giving being viewed as worship. Saying, right, money doesn't control me. Money is not my fulfillment. Money is not my satisfaction, but rather God is my everything. So if I've been blessed financially, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use it to supply the needs of others, to worship God so that they bring thanksgivings to him. It's out of a heart that says, I am surrendering control and I'm trusting God. I am worshiping him with this money. Worship's just not what we do before the sermon singing songs. Worship is a way of life. And giving is very much a part of that worship. And it's not in hopes of getting more. I'd say getting more money. But it's to help those who need it and to worship the great God that supplies it. Paul's point here, reading one last commentary, is that Corinthian generosity will not generate tepid thanksgiving to God, but will issue in a flood of thanksgivings. Thanksgivings then will become the very tone, the culture, and the vibrant atmosphere of the church. Do we want that? Do we want that? Man, I hope you want our location, our body, to be marked by that. Where we are a people who see the need, who give generously, who give worshipfully. And when someone new comes here, they go, those people love the Lord. And they are marked by thanksgivings. They are marked by worship. In all areas of life. Not only in how they serve, but in how they give. They are generous, cheerful givers. Now to wrap up, I heard this illustration from a pastor before, and I think it works so well when it comes to giving. He said, imagine he's at home with his wife. I'll say with my wife, right? And she looks at me, she goes, babe, I'm just really tired today. Could you please just do the dishes? And I look at her and I go, is this a divorce issue? And she goes, no, of course not. Well, I don't want to do it if it's not a divorce issue. Imagine the next day, she goes, babe, the kids, they were just pushing me. It's hard. Would you mind doing the laundry? And I look at her again and I go, is this a divorce issue? No, it's not a divorce issue. Okay, then I don't want to do it. Imagine I do that day after day after day. Who wants to be in a relationship with someone like that? And I think we treat God worse. Trying just to do the bare minimum. Who wants to be in a relationship with someone who just wants to do the bare minimum? And when it comes to giving, we look at God and go, is this a salvation issue? Well, if it's not a salvation issue, I don't want to do it. Right? My giving is not required for me to go to heaven. It's not required for me to be in a relationship with God. Then I'm not giving to that church. This is not a salvation issue, so therefore I'm not doing it. And I'd push back on someone like that and go, has your heart truly been changed by the gospel? You who have been shown and given grace beyond all that you could deserve. And in this area of money, we're unwilling to worshipfully, generously lay it down to the Lord. Sometimes our hearts just want to be bare minimum Christians. And I hope you don't want to be that. And I hope you want all areas of your life to be rooted and to be given to the Lord. Your time, your gifts, your personality, and yes, your finances. That it be in worship to him. As I said a few weeks ago, and I hope that we start wanting this here, let's not make that our Christianity. We don't want a surface level Christianity. We don't want a Christianity that's just a country club. That's just convenient for us. And we want biblical Christianity. We want to be committed to this. And I hope that all of us will view this as a commitment of our lives because we have been shown so much grace in the gospel of Jesus Christ and our lives have been changed. So that means everything about us is going to be for him. And we're going to follow the Bible's command on everything. The important thing to note from this passage is that giving is not an impulsive act. It's not just something you do when you have a surplus in your budget. Right? You don't get to the end of the month and go, man, we saved like a little bit of extra money. Yeah, I guess we can give it to the church now. It's not impulsive. It is intentional, purposeful, generous, worshiping. So my challenge for you is this. When you go home today or this week at some point, sit down with your spouse, and I'd say your family, if you have kids. Prayerfully consider how much you are going to give regularly. Prayerfully consider, as you look at that budget, what can I give to the church as we seek to meet needs, as we seek to glorify God? If you have kids, again, or even young adults, right, show them what this looks like, how important it is to make it a priority and go, money's not our everything. Money's not our control. But we're going to prayerfully consider, what is God calling us to give? And listen to me, please listen. I don't care how much that is. I'll never know. I don't ever want to know. Have you ever seen me get the money bag out of the offering when Tracy gives it to me? I cringe. I hate it. That's why I give it to someone else to take it to the safe in Waterford. Right? I don't want that money. I don't care how much it is. We don't see it. But it's within your heart. Prayerfully consider what God is leading you to give. And you know what's great about that? It says he loves a cheerful giver. I hope that for you, you want God to say that about you. I know for me that's the case. And I hope he looks at me and goes, that's a cheerful giver. But I want to shepherd the flock in this way. And in the one of those areas is giving. So we need to be intentional and purposeful about how we give. And I'll say, at the river, we make it very easy. You can set up reoccurring giving. You can go online and give. You can give it in person. Some of the ways that we were sent in our location pastor text to share, we have a couple different things that the money goes to. You have the general fund, right? So the general fund pays all the bills and the salaries and the events and the ministries, right? The general fund, you can give towards that. That's just your normal every week giving. This year, we're also setting up a fund of just missions, right? So missionary work in the world. We support missions from South Africa to Asia, all over the place. You can specifically give to that missions. But whatever it is, I would encourage you, sit down, prayerfully consider what you're going to give. I know my wife and I have done that. Really, I should say me. She has given me control of the finances. I don't really care about that. You tell me what we're doing, and I'll follow along. I'm like, sweet, awesome. But we've sat down and said, this is what we're going to give every week. And I know for myself, I'd forget if I didn't have that reoccurring set up. But we've prayerfully considered, we've intentionally gave and said, you know what, we're giving this to the Lord. So my challenge for you is to do that this week. And you know in your heart how much God is leading you to give. And I'll say, as a pastor, I am so thankful for the generosity in our church. I get to be a part of doing this full time. And studying the word to be able to give to you and reaching people and seeing ministries. There are so many wonderful things going on here. And it's the generosity of the saints that allows that. But I would encourage you to do that this week. Challenge you even. The Bible commands us to give cheerfully. Prayerfully consider. And think, am I going to be sensitive to the needs of others? Am I going to be sensitive to give generously? Am I going to be sensitive to give worshipfully? And I'll say this as last caveat before I pray. If you have any questions, right, if you're not going to be able to be at the town hall meeting on next Sunday, if you have any questions about any of the finances of the River Church, where the money goes, how much comes in, what the spending plan looks like, you are welcome to see that, and I will answer any of those questions. We're not hiding anything here. And it's all out there because we want to be above board and we just want to be faithful to what God has blessed us with. You can set a time up to meet with me and I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you got, okay? So let's pray and then we'll wrap up. Lord, we love you. And I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. And I ask this morning, God, as We looked at what your scripture says about giving. And I pray for the saints in here, Lord, that you would move in their heart and that you'd help them to prayerfully consider what they are intentionally, purposefully going to give. The dollar amount means nothing to you, God. You could cause these rocks to spring up in praise to you. But you've called us to give generously and cheerfully. And I pray that as a location, as a church as a whole, that we would be marked as cheerful givers. And that our giving would abound in thanksgiving to our great God who supplies all of our needs and all of our blessings. Lord, I'm so thankful for the church and for what you're doing. I pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.